For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Time to bring in our buddy Brandon Adams from Dog Nation Daily, dognation.com. Podcast you can hear every day, Monday through Friday at noon. Hey, Brandon, good morning. How are you?
Hey, Dave. How you doing? Thanks for having me on the show today.
Man, always great to hear you, and we'll be looking forward to hearing Dog Nation Daily coming up at noon today. What Tuesday is, that's Jeff Sintel Day, right? So we'll get a full
dose
of recruiting.
That's exactly right. Yeah, Jeff's going to be on Dog Nation Daily today, and you know, it's kind of fun. You kind of get that 2019 recruiting talk going. Hey, I always love having Jeff on the show. But you kind of get that recruiting talk going. And, yeah, we're excited about the start of the 2019 cycle and still looking back on Georgia's number one class in 2018.
I tell you what, it's fun to look at. And that's the thing, too, that's so exciting is we're now expecting Kirby just to keep stacking these recruiting classes.
Yeah, you know, it is really fun to watch him work in recruiting because – A, he's got that sort of, I guess, youthful energy. Now, I imagine he'll still have that when he's older. But you know, the tenacity that he approaches recruiting with is really, I think, the most satisfying thing for Georgia fans. I mean, listen, I don't want to gloss over what happened in January. Obviously, you know, everybody's still disappointed about not winning the national championship, especially when you're that close to it. But the ultimate sense that I sort of took away from that game that season was that Georgia's going to have a lot more opportunities in that spot because I think you can always draw a pretty straight line from – recruiting success to on-field success, and I think that, you know, even though Georgia lost a lot of seniors in the 2017 team, and obviously a great linebacker like Roquan Smith, who was a junior, the overall talent profile is going to be higher for the 2018 team and probably even higher than that for 2019 and beyond just because of what Kirby Smart's doing as a recruiter right now.
Brandon, you talk about losing Roquan Smith there, but one opportunity where Georgia fans will get to see Roquan Smith again, of course, the Dog Nation Appreciation event coming up over at the Roxy on March 15th. Give us a little bit of a rundown on what's going on and what fans can expect if they purchase a ticket.
Yeah, I'm really excited about this. It's going to be incredible. And we wanted to do something that sort of celebrated what was such a great season and show some appreciation for a lot of the people who made it possible. And so, you know, we set up this event. Nick Chubb's going to be there. Roquan Smith's going to be there. Sonny Michel's going to be there. As I said, as you said, it's going to be Thursday, March 15th. It's going to be at the Coca-Cola Roxy Theater, which for the folks in Athens to get a little lay of the land there, that's right across the street from the Braves Stadium, SunTrust Park at Battery Atlanta. And you go to DogNation.com, just go to the main page of DogNation.com. You'll see right there on the homepage a link to the Dog Nation Appreciation tickets. We still have some tickets left that come with an opportunity for an autograph from Chubb or Michelle or Roquan Smith. So we still have some premium tickets left that include an autograph. You also get sort of special seating up front for the event that night. And when we do the event, you know, these guys are going to be on stage. We're going to have a lot of multimedia stuff. They're going to be telling some sort of behind-the-scenes stories from what the season was. We're going to have some giveaways. It's just going to be a cool, I think, celebration of what was. And I know, you know, Dave and Sam, you're right there with me on this. You know, none of us will forget just how much fun the 2017 season was. And this is our way of sort of extending that a bit further and saying thank you to three of the guys who made it possible with Chubb and Michelle and Roquan.
And the funny thing, too, is that these are guys that are going to be, you know, the fan favorites, and everybody's going to look back on the 2017 season for years and years and years to come until the day they die. They're going to be heroes as far as that goes.
Yeah, and after the game against Alabama, I had a chance to be in the press conference room and talk to both Chubb and Michelle about that. You know, you saw a lot of former Georgia players, you know, kind of dotting the sidelines and in the stands of that game against Alabama. And, you know, they were welcomed back, just like Kirby Smart's done a good job of welcoming back former players a lot for every game. And, you know, they were both kind of reflecting the fact that one day that's going to be them. And I think the expectation for Chubb and Michelle both is that when they are the sort of distinguished alumnus coming back to the campus or you know, showing up at a bowl destination, they expect to see Georgia, you know, in games like it was against Alabama back in January. And I think the cool thing for them is they both, I think you'd put Roquan Smith in the same category, although I didn't talk to Roquan about this, but I think they would all feel a sense of pride in saying, We help sort of lay the foundation for the future success the Georgia program is going to enjoy. That's a lot of what the Dog Nation Appreciation event is about, and we'd love to have, you know, folks from Athens go to dognation.com and, you know, click on the link, get themselves an autograph from one of these great guys, and be there for the event there on Thursday, March 15th.
You know, it's funny, Brandy, you mentioned the former players that were down and around, like, the sidelines and in the stadium for the national championship game. After the game, it was just so weird running into, like, George Foster, a guy we have on our show from time to time,
yeah.
You know, former Georgia offensive lineman, and I'm talking to him, and then, you know, Todd Gurley walks up, and this is why I say the story, and then Quavo from Migos walks up, and so I'm standing there, like, and there's these three guys, and it's, for me, it, like, should be this, like, awesome moment, and unfortunately, you can't enjoy it as much because of the result of the game, but I mention that because it's very interesting to see how a guy like Quavo, who, let's face it, a big chunk of the Georgia fan base, especially the older crowd, have no idea who this guy is, but how a guy like that, and Dave
raises
his hand here, but the way that he's kind of up the profile, and you have one of the biggest hip-hop stars in the world wanting to be on Georgia's sideline for all these games, and just talk about how Kirby and Coach Tucker have embraced that. And because he played in the Celebrity All-Star Game the other night with the NBA, won the MVP, and Coach Tucker is tweeting him out, congratulations, and Kirby Smart's retweeting it. So this staff really does understand the connection between the recruits, the hip-hop community, and wanting to just stay as flashy and new-looking as they can.
Yeah, Dave. I mean, Sam, I think that's a pretty good point. I'm probably right there with Dave, though, in terms of my knowledge of hip-hop. I'm not the most, you know, that might be a pretty interesting trivia contest for me and Dave Johnson to go kind of back and forth on, yeah, on our hip-hop knowledge.
We'll throw Jeff in there, too. Ooh. We'll have that'll be a fun battle. Yeah.
But I will say this, to Sam's point, while I may not know a lot about hip-hop, I know cool when I see it, and Georgia right now is kind of cultivating that sort of coolness factor with the way that it's approaching recruiting. And, you know, the hip-hop guys are an example of that. I think the way that, you know, they kind of adopted the nicknames for the various recruits, like the League of Shadow stuff and the Trench Mob and things like that. You know, there's just a way that this group right now, this coaching staff, seems to be leveraging the social media, the celebrity, the hip-hop, leveraging all that together for something that's obviously cool for the people who, you know, want to be a part of it. And I know every football program thinks they're doing a, you know, some version of that. They've all got their clever hashtags, and they've all got their, you know, various ways in which they're trying to make that happen. But a lot of the folks who try that don't end up pulling that off. And winning, no doubt, makes it easier. But one of the things that you do see is that Georgia is sort of leveraging all that in the perfect way to kind of, you know, meet the young guys, the future recruits, the, you know, the incoming freshmen, you know, kind of meet them where they are and speaking a language that's fluent for them. And even if I don't completely understand it, that's sort of the point. I'm not really supposed to understand it all, but I can certainly recognize the ways in which it's working.
And that leads me into the in-stadium experience discussion, because this is one that, especially in the offseason, gets a lot of traction, where you'll have kind of the older guard of Georgia fans complaining and writing letters to the president of the university about, we got to stop playing all this hip-hop and all this stuff. But at the same time, you see how the coaching staff has embraced that and is using it in recruiting. And you want to be able to have that sort of in-game, too, when you have recruits there, so you have that kind of hyped-up environment that attracts them. So, in a sense, I feel like Georgia fans that are complaining about the music that's being played, and again, it's only three and a half hours of your day. You're not going there to listen to the music. You're going there to watch a football game. So when fans complain about it and the university reacts and changes the in-stadium experience in terms of playing stuff like, you know, Ain't No Mountain High Enough and Living on a Prayer, it seems like the fan base may be detrimental to the process in that regard.
Okay, so I think that, you know, you bring up a really good point. You know, I was at Jordan-Hare Stadium for the Georgia-Auburn game.
I know where you're going with this, and I'm totally in agreement here.
And, you know, Georgia fans are not less passionate than Auburn fans. We've seen a million examples of that over the course of time, that Georgia fans are just as passionate as any SEC fan base is. But Jordan-Hare Stadium that day was just an incredibly electric atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
Was it more electric than Sanford Stadium at its best? I don't know. But it was an incredibly electric atmosphere. And if we all acknowledge, and I think we would, that Auburn fans are not somehow some sort of special breed of fans that care more than Georgia fans do, you have to go to, well, what made the stadium atmosphere that day so electric, so special? And I think that you do have to point your finger at the music as at least being a part of that. The music was loud. It was a lot more modern what you typically hear at Georgia, you know, even apart from, like, you know, the debate about, you know, old 70s-style, you know, pop music or hip-hop, you know, just the constant reliance on a song like Seven Nation Army. Right? I don't mean to go so, you know, deep dive into the music choices here, but that's a song that's kind of been done to death by a lot of, you know, sports franchises. That doesn't really set Georgia apart as, you know, unique and different. You know, the music, I think, played a factor in some of the tough environments that Georgia's faced in the last couple of years. And if Georgia could make a musical decision to make it easier for people to get loud and for, frankly, students to have a good time. We all know that all campuses are sort of fighting the battle of how do you keep students interested in the on-field product, coming to the stadium, spending 4.5 hours at a game. I think if you can create an atmosphere that just makes it more fun, I think that's all the way around a win. You know, you say, well, you've got some older alumni you've got to please, but Georgia's not, you know, unique in that respect. I mean, every you know, college campus, every fan base has got its more distinguished alumni who may want a different kind of thing or whatever, and other people seem to be striking that balance. I don't know why it seems that Georgia's having a difficult time doing that, but I agree with your premise that a better, you know, sort of in-stadium experience in terms of the music and things like that would just make the atmosphere potentially more intense.
Well, and going back to the Auburn game, like you said, I think one of the biggest things was, and look, the music is twofold. It's to be attractive to the recruit, and this is my opinion, it's to be attractive to the recruits and you know, playing what they want to hear. But also, within the game itself, you looked at that Auburn sideline, and they're playing, you know, various hip-hop from various, you know, mostly Southern artists, and you see the players jumping up and down, and they're getting into it. When fans see that, that triggers them to get even more into it. So that's a big thing, too. And you know, UGA players, I'm sorry, they ain't popping to Living on a Prayer or, yeah, you know, or Sweet Caroline or whatever. That just doesn't connect with today's teenage/young adult athlete.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely right. I think – you know, what can be frustrating for you and me, you know, Dave, we have a conversation like this, is that it seems like such a no-brainer to us, and yet when it finally sort of reaches the, you know, the bureaucracy of the highest levels to make some sort of decision about that, somehow there's a, you know, it seems to get sort of clogged in the pipeline from time to time. But, you know, I really don't have any dispute with what you're saying at all. Even if when I'm driving around in my car, that's not the kind of music that I'm listening to, I certainly know a loud stadium when I hear it. I appreciate a good atmosphere for college football when I'm part of it. And there's no doubt that other stadiums are sort of utilizing that to their advantage in a way that right now Georgia's probably not, which is not to say that Sanford Stadium doesn't get loud. I mean, I think that, you know, in the last sort of 5-10 years, it's certainly a lot louder than the stadiums I remember going to when I was younger. I mean, I think that Georgia fans do a great job of creating a good sort of, you know, home field advantage, but could it be better, and how do you make it that way? I think you got to look at all the possible avenues, and I think the music's a part of that.
Brandon, we're about 2 months away from the G-Day game. What's a storyline or two that you're looking forward to for spring practice?
You know, I'm going to be obvious here, and I hate to just, you know, give you the answer that you expect, but I just have to say off the top of my head that I cannot wait to see Justin Fields in Sanford Stadium. Can't wait to see what he brings to the table, because I do think he's a special talent. Now, I think that Jake Fromm's a special talent too, and I think that, you know, Jake Fromm as a rising sophomore, it's probably a little bit different rising sophomore than Eason was last year, and that I don't know that Fromm needs to be pushed in the same way that maybe Eason, with all due respect, maybe needed some of that. So I think that Fromm is his own interesting story here, and let's see how much better he's getting and how much more, you know, he's growing as a quarterback. But Fields is one of those rare talents, and, you know, I was listening to an ESPN recruiting analyst the other day talk about how, you know, he thinks of all the freshman quarterbacks in the country that, you know, that Fields may be among the most who are, you know, most ready to play right away. Now, there's obviously a problem in that regard, and that, you know, Fromm's ahead of him, but that gives you an idea of the way that a lot of the recruiting analysts, I know you have a lot of the guys that cover Georgia on your show from time to time, I'm sure they've kind of said the same thing, that Fields is a pretty interesting prospect, and Fields is a bit of a finished product, so to speak, at the quarterback position a little bit. Seeing some of that in front of what should be a full house or close to it for a G-Day, that's a pretty cool thing, because, you know, let's be honest here, you know, the real questions for Georgia, you know, who's going to replace Roquan, you know, how are, you know, guys like DeAndre Walker and Walter Grant going to do in sort of filling in those, you know, outside linebacker shoes, you know, we won't get a ton of those answers during the spring, and y'all know the drill on this. There's just not enough true full contact football, and Kirby Smart's pretty close-lipped about the moments when there are those kinds of things happening, so we'll leave spring not knowing the answer to that, but Could we be dazzled by a highlight? Could Elijah Holyfield, you know, kind of show that he's ready to kind of be a compliment to DeAndre Swift while Zamir White's recovering from his injury? Some of those sort of highlight moments, either during a practice when we get a good glimpse of it, or on G-Day when everybody gets to see it, those are my favorite parts of the spring.
Brandon, I think one piece of discussion that's traveled around this offseason is the fact that Georgia is losing two of their all-time greatest running backs, but with the improvements on the offensive line and the continued development there with Coach Sam Pittman, some argue that in the long run, James Cook, Zamir White could end up being, and we'll throw even DeAndre Swift into this, they could end up being more successful just based on who they have in front of them blocking for them.
Yeah, that's what something that Jeff Sintel had brought up on Dog Nation Daily on Friday. We talked about that a little bit yesterday on the show, too, and I think that's a really interesting point. Now, you know, if you have like a non-Georgia fan who's listening in this conversation, the yeah, but start popping up of, yeah, but those five-star guys have to live up to the hype, and that's certainly true, and, you know, James Cook and Zamir White still have a lot, you know, to live up to in terms of filling the shoes of Nick Chubb and Sonny Michel, and that's, you know, kind of worth pointing out here as well, but I just think it's objectively fair to say DeAndre Swift, who's only a sophomore, the collection of talent they're going to run behind is much better than what for the 4 years, you know, Michelle and Chubb had at their disposal. So could the numbers be better? Could the you know, the stats be padded because of that? I think there's a really good chance, you know, that is true. And it's one of the reasons why, of all the things that Georgia fans have, you know, justifiable reasons to be excited about right now, there's probably nothing more exciting for a fan, or at least shouldn't be, than the collection of just oak tree offensive linemen Georgia's bringing in. I just think that makes everything easier in the long run.
Brandon, Dog Nation Appreciation coming up Thursday, March 15th. Give everybody the details one more time.
Yeah, it's going to be there at the Battery Atlanta at the Coca-Cola Roxy Theater. We got autograph opportunities with Nick Chubb, Sonny Michel, or Roquan Smith. Still some of those tickets are available. If you just go to dognation.com, right there on the main homepage, dognation.com, you'll see a link to the Dog Nation Appreciation. You can get your tickets. General admission starts at just $49. And as I said, we have some premium tickets still left, which includes some autograph opportunities for three former Georgia greats.
Always great talking to you, Brandon. Thanks so much, and look forward to hearing you today on Dog Nation Daily.
Thank you, guys. I'm a big fan of y'all's show. Thanks for having me on today.
Brandon Adams, Dog Nation Daily, Monday through Friday, noon to 1, right here on The Ref.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.